Well, we are hippity-hoppitying off to a somewhat different land because we have a I want to say a new bookseller with us, but he hasn't new. He was on one of our very first shows, and it's just been a long time since he's been back, and we're thrilled to have him here. We welcome back the Book Loft to our weekly book pick segment. The Great Barrington-based bookstore has a new owner, and we're happy to welcome Mark Ouellette, who is their senior book buyer, has 32 years in the book business, and many of those years, all of those years or many of those years at the Book Loft?
16 or so of them at the Book Loft, and I think now I'm approaching 40 years in the book business.
Wow. All right. So two things. Congratulations on all that time in the book business.
Yeah, and it's fun.
That's one. And then two. Yeah, you got to update your bio page on the website.
Yes.
it's great to have you here. Thank you very much. Good to see you again. So where would you like to begin?
Well, I want to talk with you about some new summer books that we book lofters are really excited about. There's just so many to choose from.
I know.
The store's new owner, Pamela Pesco-Solito, loves Colson Whitehead's novel, The Underground Railroad, and says it's the best book of 2016. But Oprah already selected that, and everybody's reading it now. We are selling it like mad. It's giving Harry Potter a run for his magic, for sure. So it doesn't need any of my help, but it's a great book. I brought five that I'd like to plump in front of you for your consideration. I'll start with Mr. Eternity by Aaron Thier. He's a local author, lives in Great Barrington, and hipped me to his second novel. It's a really inventive and funny book that spans American history. It starts in the present day when two postgrad students meet in Key West, an ancient mariner who calls himself Daniel Defoe and claims to be 560 years old. His words skitter about from lunatic nonsense to apparent prophecy, and the millennials decide to make a documentary about him. And then there are other chapters in the book that range from the 16th century to the year 2500, with storytellers relating their encounters with Dr. Dan Defoe in very slap-happy, picaresque goings-on. And the stories in the years 2200 are strange dystopian parodies with underwater cities and climate devastation. The year 2500 is the most distant in the future that it deals with. It's progressively dimmer in the Democratic Federation of Mississippi States, as this country is called now, where an overlord seeks to remodernize and reunite the states. It's really a wonderfully absurd, language-rich story by a very talented writer that I've had the chance to meet in our bookstore.
Mr. Eternity is the name of the book, and it's published by Bloomsbury.
Yes, indeed. The next one is titled Pond. It's by Claire Louise Bennett. This is her first book, and what a find. What a great book. I love this author. She's a young Irish woman, and her way with language is just mesmerizing. One of her compatriots, Colm McCann, says she has a touch of Lydia Davis, a touch of Samuel Beckett, a touch of Edna O'Brien, and she really has this incredible and not so incredible way with language. The story is very simple. An unnamed woman chronicles her life in a coastal village, yet her sensibility is ferociously intelligent as she relates seemingly mundane details, eating breakfast, cleaning clutter and finding an old love letter, sitting in the bath in the midst of a storm. She describes a book that she liked about the last person alive, and you see how the language reflects her, quote, such extraordinary isolation also beautifully charted, and it is quite impossible to stop reading because, in a sense, you want to go where she is going. You want to be undone in just the way she is being undone.
Wow.
Unquote.
Yes.
This pond is, as McCann says, quiet and luxurious all at once, and a real find, a tremendous writer.
Claire Louise Bennett is the author. Pond is the name of the book, and we now move on to our third.
Yes. One of my favorite short story writers, Joy Williams. The book that, her short story collection, The Visiting Privilege, came out last year and just came out in paperback this year. And it's a really very full and wonderful collection of short stories. However, what I'm going to talk about now is a short book called 99 Stories of God, also by Joy Williams. They're short shorts or microfictions or found fables about various creators with wry punchlines for after titles. Among the puzzling and funny vignettes are nuggets of theology, but she really mixes it up with found things, obviously some totally strange things. Let me read just briefly. These are short. My favorite. The girl from the pharmacy who delivered Darvon to Philip K. Dick, the science fiction writer, wore a gold fish necklace. "What does that mean?" asked Dick. She touched it and said, "This is a sign worn by the early Christians so that they would recognize one another." "In that instant," Dick writes, "I suddenly experienced anamnesis, a Greek word meaning literally loss of forgetfulness." Anamnesis is brought on by the action of the Holy Spirit. The person remembers his true identity throughout all his lives. The person recognizes the world for what it is, his own prior thought formations, and this generates the flash. He now knows where he is. Buried in Colorado, all alone.
Wow. Reading from Joy Williams, 99 Stories of God.
Yeah, she is something else. There are stories that feature a guy named the Lord who goes about his non-divine day and does various odd things. Many of these squibs read like Joy Williams, Believe It or Not. You have to give it a try. The New York Times called her our preeminent bard of humanity's insignificance, which I thought kind of nailed it.
Yes. That's great. All right. Next.
Next is a book that is coming out next week, and it's by, I think, a lot of people's, one of their favorite authors, Caleb Carr, who was the author of The Alienist and The Angel of Darkness. He has a book coming out next week called Surrender, New York. That's the name of a town. Linda on our staff loves Caleb Carr. As soon as I got the advance reader's copy of it, she grabbed it, would not let it go. And every time I saw her, she would update me on what was going on in the book. It just gripped her. So she has staff picked it, and I'm just going to read from some of her notes that she gave me about what she was staff picking. Disturbing issues of child trafficking, foster care, abandoned children, politics, and police matters fluctuate between New York City and the town of Surrender in upstate New York. What's going on? Deaths, seemingly suicides, of young people have been happening for years, but not until a few deaths have occurred in a close geographical area does someone take notice. Dr. T.J. Jones and his partner, Dr. Mike Chang, are on the case, applying their no-holds-barred analysis to the political and police realm to get to the crux of the matter. But all is not crime. There is humor, love, loyalty, and history in the Jones family and the town of Surrender. Lots of characters who you'll wonder about. There's another rather unusual main character, Marciana, who is TJ's dog? Now, she is another story. This thrilling novel, Linda says, is very current in its issues, and the psychology and forensics are everywhere.
I just finished this novel, and it is amazing. And I think people who have read The Alienist, it's very different. But
different,
my
yeah.
goodness, it's just a great crime novel, and just that whole idea of looking at. You know, is there a point where we go too far with science? And it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Really well done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a local guy.
Yes, he is. Upstate
yes.
New York.
Yes, so very, very cool. And that book comes out next week. All right, what else?
Well, the last one I want to talk about, Linda is also reading this and loving it. Pam is reading it. I'm reading it as well. It's called Patient HM by Luke Dittrich. It's his first book. It's, I guess, what's called creative nonfiction. It reminded me and a lot of other people very much of The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks,
yes.
which is a fantastic book. And so that immediately made me want to read this. And it is an apt comparison. It's really a very compelling and human story of a man named Henry Molaison, who suffered from epilepsy, and in 1953 he received a lobotomy that radically altered his brain function. He became profoundly amnesic, meaning that he was unable to create new long-term memories. Over the next 60 years, Patient HM became the most studied individual in the history of neuroscience, a human guinea pig who taught us much of the science of memory. In that way, it's reminiscent of Henrietta Lacks. There's a lot of science in this book and the history of the treatment of mental patients. It's all humanized by the surrounding stories of Henry and his benefactors and doctors and their poignant struggles. Someone described it as Oliver Sacks meets Stephen King, which I think is somewhat appropriate, maybe more on the Oliver Sacks side. It's not a spoiler when you find out that the neurosurgeon who initially operated on Henry was the author's, Dietrich's, grandfather, and his family's story takes up much of the book as well. It's a great combination of biography and memoir and science journalism. I started reading it this past weekend, and I just can't put it down. I find it really fascinating, and it's very well written.
Patient HM, A Story of Memory, Madness, and Family Secrets. We're out of time, but a reminder, you can find out more by going to thebookloft.com or visit them in Barrington Plaza in Great Barrington. Again, bookloft.com. Mark Ouellette, thanks very much for coming back. Good to see you.
Thanks. Good to see you again, Joe.